Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's shaking, Daniel?
This episode's dropping on May 6th.
May 6th.
Did you do anything for Cinco de Mayo?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. That's your jam, though.
We always live it up on Cinco de Mayo for no good reason other than it's a good excuse to eat tacos, which we already do twice a week.
Is that a Sunday? Is this episode dropping on a Monday? I'm trying to think of the dates.
Yeah.
So, Sunday, that'll be...
Because Mother's Day is...
That'll be May 5th.
Yeah,
I will have been in Nashville. So, yes, I did do something for Cinco de Mayo.
There you go.
There you go. I don't think I might have celebrated it, but now I'll be thinking about it. So maybe we'll find ourselves at a Mexican restaurant drinking a margarita.
Some amazing tacos.
I told this story before, but I'll tell it again, that when I first got to know Daniel and we started working together way back in probably 2009, him and his wife said, "What are you guys doing for Cinco de Mayo?" And to which I was like, like hanging out. I don't know. It's like a Tuesday. Nothing.
We
have a new baby.
It's crazy.
Like we're going to be in bed by 7:30. And so he said, "Well, why don't we come over and, you know, at the time it was really easy for him to come. He did not have children." And so I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And he's like, "Well, we'll bring some guac," which is kind of humorous that my wife ultimately stole his recipe and now is known as the guac queen among her circles.
Right.
So it's totally Daniel's recipe. So anybody listening
to this, that's
in that circle, you know that that is actually Daniel's recipe. But anyways, and so I'll never, ever forget the doorbell rings. I open the door. And there is Daniel and his lovely bride in sombreros and mustaches.
And we had some for you.
It was awesome.
You also had a sombrero and mustache by the end of the night.
And then I think you brought stuff to make homemade margaritas. You brought your guac.
Yeah, we don't pre-made margaritas.
Did we do anything?
I don't think you did anything.
We didn't do anything.
No,
nothing.
We supplied everything.
Wow.
You kept a baby alive, barely.
Yes. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and that started a ritual for a while, right?
Until we had the kids, I think.
Yeah. Then you disappeared on me. Then I'm like, "Daniel, you want to hang out?" Oh, no.
Infants nothing. Kill everything.
Anyways, all right. What else is going on? You just got back from an epic ride.
Yeah.
How was it?
Second time up Mount Mitchell.
Mm.
First time was a couple years ago, so second time in North Carolina. Highest peak on the east coast.
Yeah,
so it's a really awesome bike ride, mostly because it's not overly steep, so it's a really just picturesque, beautiful road up to the top, but you got to work for it.
That's
a couple
awesome.
Hours of climbing. So,
and you had a lot of guys,
18 guys, yep, from our cycling team
in a big place, right? You were in a big cabin,
yep,
big house, and cook, and you do all the things, right?
Yep. Me and one of my friends cook. He does a lot of the cooking. I kind of help him with that. We organize the menu together. I organize the entire trip. It's the team that I coach on. For those who listen to the podcast, who I've seen on the Zwift Universe, the indoor cycling app, it's the team that I coach there. So
I didn't know
we
you coach the team. You coach the team,
kind of the captain of the team. So
nice.
Yeah, we've got 40 overall guys, and 18 of them make it out.
Anybody giving you some problems right now that you're thinking about demoting? You're like, "Man, I mean, Brian is really just..."
Sometimes we got to kick people off
the team. Brian and I, we have a meeting coming up. We're talking about him, slacking, anything like that?
Oh, it happens sometimes.
Really?
But there's no current drama now.
How is, switching gears, because you are also coaching kids soccer right now.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it's herding cats. They're 4- and 5-year-olds.
I love that. It's just a group of kids chasing around a ball.
But when they don't listen, you make them do push-ups and jumping jacks and all that, and they straighten up quickly.
That's
not
awesome.
Really. We just have fun.
That's fantastic.
We played Pirates on Monday.
What's that?
You set up islands on the field, and they have to get from one end of them to the other as Pirates without having their ball stolen by the other Pirates, and it's really fun.
Nice.
So you got all these kids just screaming in pirate arms on the field. Yeah.
Did you wear an eye patch?
No, I forgot it.
Because that would have been awesome.
I was going to bring it. So.
You should wear a mustache and an eye patch.
Yeah. Maybe for Cinco de Mayo, because that'll be on a... No, that's Sunday. Maybe
Sunday.
We'll... Yeah. Well, we don't want to culturally appropriate during soccer. It's not good.
Call what?
Culturally appropriate.
Oh, culture. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not a good idea.
Great. Those are good updates. Now you know what's going on with Daniel. And he's out of his shell. Sometimes you're just like, no, nothing. I'm doing nothing.
Cup and a half in a coffee.
Booyah. That's why. There we go. All right. Those are great updates. This episode and all episodes sponsored by Jewel Financial, JOULEfinancial.com. By now, you've probably done your taxes. I think this tends to be a hot button we're seeing with a lot of folks. They're like, you know, yeah, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I love this. And then you're like, whoa, what is happening? Why am I paying so much in taxes? And I'm not saying that, you know, just having a tax advisor gets your tax liability down, but certainly understanding it or making sure you're doing the appropriate things within your overall investment landscape is probably critical, especially if, again, you're getting to that point where your resources are growing and you think maybe it's now time to look for an advisor. So if that's you and you want to learn more about us, visit us on the web, JOULEfinancial.com. Again, that's JOULEfinancial.com. Also, check us out on all the social channels. That's DIY Money Podcast. And keep the questions coming. Send them to podcast@DIYMoney.org. That's podcast@DIYMoney.org. Special shout out to A. Howard, by the way, who's been handling all those and is absolutely rocking it. Like, she puts together this note sheet. She gives it to us a day in advance. I mean, we are really, really growing up around here. So special shout out to Allie. She's doing fantastic. Let's go to the lines. We got Chris. What do you got?
DIY.
Hey, DIY Money. It's Chris from Chicago, and I still love the show. Financial gurus tell people to live like the rich and use the same tactics and strategies that the rich use. For those of us who work for large corporations and receive RSUs, restricted stock units, or some sort of stock compensation, what say you about accumulating that stock and at a later date seeking a margin loan, also known as a portfolio stock loan? I know the rich will do this with millions of dollars of stock. What concerns or alarms are raised with the middle class attempting to do this with maybe $200,000 or $300,000 or maybe even $400,000 worth of stock? As I understand it, you can borrow 50 to 70% of the value of the portfolio and there's no tax liability for a loan as compared to capital gains tax that need to be paid when you redeem the stock. Is there anything else I need to be aware of? I assume you will continue to receive dividends when you take a portfolio loan, but please correct me if I'm wrong. I look forward to your discussion.
Okay. I will let Daniel speak to the particulars, but I'm going to kind of cut through some of the things. First of all, Chris has sent in questions before, and I'm glad you still love the show, and we still love you. So thanks for sending in those questions. Keep them coming, Chris. But here's what I want to kind of break through. You, I'm sure, did not think I would take this tact, and it's okay. And maybe we alienate you from this point forward, but we work with a lot of people that are wealthy. By a lot of standards, we work with folks that the media or public would call, quote, rich. The definition of rich from a financial perspective is actually quite low. So many of you listening out there, if you added up all of your assets and your, you know, real estate equity and so forth, you might be deemed as, quote, rich, or you might be deemed as a top percentile in the United States. And you may think to yourself, well, that's not me. That's not who they're talking about. They're talking about those other fat cats, you know, and so forth. So I want to, the reason I'm saying that is, Chris, when you hear this, you also hear this idea that this is what the, quote, rich do. Like there's a secret society, or like there's a secret set of rules for the wealthy. And I'm here to tell you that the headlines or the articles or the social media, like I see this a lot on X, where, you know, oh, this is what the rich do. And I read it and I go, no, that's honestly not what the wealthy people do that I know, or at least the ones that want to keep the wealth. And so I want to break down for you that the old adage always remains true, said by one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett. He said there's three ways an intelligent man can go broke. Leverage, liquor, and he's speaking to men, ladies, so let's just call it obscure relationships.
That works.
Inappropriate relationships, man or woman, right? So inappropriate relationships. But he used leverage as one, and I would say that over the years, 20 plus years in this industry, and even prior to that, you know, going to school in the 90s and observing and studying finance at the university and watching the dot-com, you know, bubble era, is leverage or loans are what truly can become the demise of anyone, whether they are, quote, rich or not. So I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that wealthy, quote, wealthy people borrow from their stock portfolio, use that money, don't pay capital gains tax, and then return that at a maybe through their, you know, wages, or maybe pay it back over time through the acceleration of stock, et cetera. But I'm here to tell you that when that goes wrong, that is a terrible, terrible situation. Meaning, interest rates on margin portfolio loans right now are very high. That's number one. Now, 401k loans might be a little bit lower, but they're still high. So you're borrowing money to do something, which, as you know, based on this program, is never a wise thing, in our opinion, to do, unless you're buying an asset that maybe appreciates over time and you're doing it in a smart manner, again, like a mortgage. Number two is, if all of a sudden those stock portfolio starts to decline and you don't hold a certain balance, and I'm not talking about a 401k loan, I'm talking about an actual margin balance, many people get what's called a margin call, which means you have a short period of time to either pay back the loan or they're going to sell the asset. And that happens during bear markets, during downturns, during normal pullbacks, where people are forced out of their stocks. They get a margin call, which then, if they've held it for a long period of time, and let's say they have gains, becomes a capital gain tax. And ultimately, they're basically selling at lows. So it can become this compounding reverse effect. That's why when you start to see bear markets, they accelerate on the downside and become very, very violent, because in many instances, that's exactly what's happening. So I'm going to summarize. I'll kick it over to Daniel, but I'm going to summarize by saying this. Chris, when you read something that says this is what the rich do, I want you to go to one of the wealthiest people you know. And if you don't know anybody that's extremely wealthy, you know, call us, because we work with many of them. And I'll say, no, they really don't do that. There genuinely is not this secret methodology that the, quote, rich do. I know wealthy people who think there is, and they try to find it. There's not. And then also, I would say, look at what some of the wealthiest people do, like a Warren Buffett.
You're talking to James King. Let me create wealth for you.
He does not use leverage. He does not borrow against his portfolio. And what he always says is, keep it simple. Anyways, that's all I got on that horse. What say you, Daniel?
Stock market is gangster.
Yeah, all we're really talking about is a collateralized loan against your stock position. So you're using your stock as collateral, and you're taking out a loan against it, which would beg the question, if you were looking at this from a financial planning perspective, where's that cash going? So now you've withdrawn money from your account. Your account is on margin, which means you're paying interest rate on whatever you withdraw. And those interest rates are above 10% right now for as of the date of this episode. So for margin loans, for 401k loans, things like that, they're around 10% or above, which means if you just take the long-term average of, say, you know, U.S. stock market indices, the actual interest rate is roughly in line with the long-term sort of averages of that kind of 10%-ish sort of assumed rate. So keep that in mind. It's kind of almost a wash when you think of it that way. But where's that cash going? Are you paying down lower interest rate debt? That doesn't make sense. Are you buying a asset like a car that's going to depreciate? That really doesn't make sense. So for a lot of those situations, pulling that cash out and then allocating it or spending it elsewhere is rarely going to make sense from a financial planning perspective, because you're inevitably then paying interest on that, which either has to be made up by the gains in the stock, which then you eventually sell to cover some of that liability, or you eventually put money back in order to cover that liability. So still somewhere along the line, those that liability has to be made up. You're going to have to pay it back. It's a loan that you're going to have to pay back. So for me, I don't really understand where that makes sense in an overall plan, but I'd be happy to see it. Now, I think when we were talking about, you know, the super wealthy or something like that, while most folks don't have this strategy in their portfolio, I think if you were a founder of a company and you own a stock at zero, maybe, you know, you're cash flowing part of your life by taking out these loans and then paying them back from your income or something like that. But overall, this is, yeah, I agree with Quint. This is not a strategy that we see day in and day out in people's overall financial plans. In fact, most of our financial planning is dedicated towards eliminating debt, eliminating leverage, even eventually paying down things like mortgages or other low interest debt by the time people get into retirement. So we are firmly in the camp of eventually all people really eliminating a lot of those debts and liabilities and things like that from their financial plan so that eventually they can live in basically a state of financial freedom.
Excellent. Excellent thoughts. All right, Chris, hopefully that shed some light on your situation. I think, again, I want to stress, and I beat this dead horse to death, but I think there's this real big misconception that there's this other world out there. And in the reality, the key is just keep it simple. I mean, I cannot stress that enough. Keep it simple. In my opinion, avoid debt at all costs and just invest. So we're going to close right there. All right. Thanks again for the question. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very long time. Make it a great one. Money.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.